This is the Frogcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Frogcast. I am glad that you're with us here today enjoying this new episode, and we have entered into what I always think of as the dark period of human history. Trey, how are you handling it? The football season is over. You hanging in there okay?
Yeah, man. I mean, excuse me, I'm surviving, but I feel like I'm having to figure out things to do to take up my time. Like on the weekends, it's just like, I mean, obviously I have a kid who keeps me busy, but it's like, man, you know, there's not really much to watch on TV. I mean, we're going to talk about TCU basketball here in a little bit. But, yeah, it's just been, you know, hanging out, just killing time, I guess.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on. I find myself asking my wife, what can I do for you right now on a Saturday? Because the Saturday is going to be here in September where I'm going to sit down on the couch at 11 and get up at 11. So, Daniel Southern, you doing okay there? You dealing with the withdrawals of no college football, no NFL football? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there, trying to supplement a little bit with both basketball and baseball. And maybe it just hadn't had enough time to really kick in and, you know, where I really feel it. But so far, I'm holding on.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there as well. But one of the things that we have to do as TCU fans is realize that football doesn't go around 12 months out of the year. And we do have a basketball program. I know that this is lost on most people, but TCU is in the Big 12. We do have a basketball program, and we are not going to sugarcoat this. We don't have a very good team, if you haven't noticed already. I can tell you the name of every recruit that just signed with our class a couple of weeks ago for football, and I can tell you about all the targets that we have for the 2017 football class, but I can't tell you a whole lot about this basketball team. I know some of the key players. I know the coach. Trey, tell us about the state of TCU men's basketball right now.
Well, I'm just going to say this to begin with. I will admit that I am part of the problem. I live 20, 25 minutes away from the arena, and I never go to the games. And, you know, I know it can be hard for a player to play in, you know, a fairly quiet arena that's, you know, especially when they go on the road to places like Kansas and stuff like that, and they're like, man, this, what an atmosphere here. And then they come home to play at home and atmosphere is pretty dull. So I realize that's a problem, but on the flip side, you know, even if we were losing, we don't play an entertaining style of basketball at all, you know. So if it was entertaining and we're still losing, like, that's one thing. But, like, it's boring and they're bad. And it's just honestly not that fun to watch. And so I feel like on the flip side of what I was saying earlier is, you know, make the product on the court better, more entertaining, something to get fans out there. I'm not saying like turn it into a gimmick or anything, but you've got to do something to get it going, to get people excited about this program. I mean, obviously with the new arena, TCU is showing that they're serious about basketball, men and women. So that's not an issue. And so I think, you know, something's got to be done. And I just don't think Trent Johnson has got it done. And I don't know, if he's going to be canned this year, but I think it needs to seriously be considered.
Yeah, we're going to dig in on whether he should be let go or not, but I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. I agree with you. It needs to be talked about because this team, you know, I'm in 100% agreement with you. They're losing, and it's no fun to watch. And that's a terrible combination. I mean, you can be an average basketball team, but if you're putting up points and running up and down the court or blocking some shots or hitting some threes, having some kind of identity that people can buy into, that will at least generate some buy-in and some passion from the community. But they don't have any of that. They don't have any of that. And Daniel, you know, Trey mentioned the new arena. You've been there. You support the team locally. you know, what's it like being at the new arena and watching us just kind of dribble up and down the court and not do a whole heck of a lot?
And it's, I don't know, the new arena itself is fantastic. That's part of the reason I've been actually going a little bit more. It's just, you know, it's something to do, and it's a nice place to go. Even if they're getting destroyed, I can still go mill around the Hall of Fame or something and just enjoy being there. But the style of play is the most boring thing imaginable. It makes Big Ten football look awesome. It is... It's just they get up, you know, and they line up around the three-point line, and they pass, and then finally do something. It's just like, I really don't get it. And defensively, they're playing well, but, you know, this isn't football. You can't just rely on your defense to get everything, because you still have to score. And I still see little flashes here and there of you know, some of the players, particularly yesterday, with JD Miller, he came out and had a great game, but you know, a couple others, just here and there, and little flashes and a spark of energy, and they just kind of take it upon themselves to just you know, really amp it up, no pun intended, to just play better, you know, play faster, play stronger, play harder, kind of like. Which is not the vibe you get when you watch Trent Johnson coaching the guys. He'll scream and he'll clap a little bit, but there's no passion, really. It's just kind of like going through the motions. And, you know, contract or not, you need to sell tickets. And even if they lose, just play something that's fun to watch. You know, it's so freaking boring. It just makes it that much worse. And that's why there's nobody going. And like Kansas is a home game for Kansas and stuff like that. And it's just sad. And we got to try and figure this out.
I think the most disappointing part about this basketball team is we don't ask for a whole lot as TCU basketball fans. You know, we have a Cadillac program of football and a baseball. We have expectations of New Year's Bowls and College World Series. We do not have Final Four expectations for our basketball team. If we made the NIT 2 years in a row and went to the NCAA a third year and then just had that cycle for 10 years, we'd be happy as could be. If we just knew that we could, you know, win a couple of road games against teams that are above 500, make an NIT, win a few games, maybe make a tournament randomly as a bubble team, our fans would be delirious. We would think the world of that, and we would get behind this team in support of it. You know, we can't even get behind this team because it is so boring. It is and it's just the same story over and over again. I feel like from 2012 until now, I feel like I'm watching the exact same basketball team. Sometimes they play hard, but they never win when it really matters. And other than the Kansas win in the 2012-2013 season, I don't know any signature wins where I thought this team is taking the next step to be competitive in the toughest basketball program in the country. I get that. But I look at TCU basketball the same way Iowa State fans probably look at football, which is, you know, we're going to love you. Just give us something every now and then, and we'll be behind you forever. So that really kind of begs the
question. Kansas fans.
Even Kansas fans. That's right. I didn't want to insult us that way. Well, that kind of begs the question. So, Trey Daniel, I want to ask you guys, we've already kind of hinted at it. Should we, not just like, is it a potential, if you were the AD and things continue as is for between now and the end of this regular season, should we fire Trent Johnson and start over as a basketball program?
I am just going to say, like I said earlier, it needs to be talked about, but in my opinion, I think it's time to bring in somebody new. Now, I can't sit here and tell you who that should be, but
John Calipari. That's who I am.
Yeah, exactly. Sign him up. Let's go. I think something needs to be done. It's just, like we've all said, it's not entertaining. Let's try something different. And, with that arena, you know, I've seen the pictures, obviously. It's so nice. You have to be able to recruit this area. I mean, you look at Texas, what Texas Tech's been doing, you know, the last couple of weeks with their, what was it, like three straight wins over ranked opponents. You saw, you know, SMU obviously turning around. They were doing sketchy shit or whatever. I don't know what they were doing, but they were
still, hired Larry Brown, not to be.
Yeah. I mean, but they were still able to turn it around. And you see now that, you know, they were going through a period there where like SMU basketball tickets were like one of the hottest commodities in Dallas. And so you should be able to field a competitive team just by recruiting this area. Like, it can be done. And you just, I think you need to find somebody who knows this local area that's going to hit it hard and bring in some guys. And I don't know, we'll see, but I think somebody new needs to be here.
Yeah, I'm on board. You can't be in your fourth year and taking a step back. You just can't do that. And I understand the arguments people make about having to recruit using a high school gym, and that sucks, but well, you don't have that excuse anymore. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do. I think he's overpaid. I don't know what his buyout would be, and I just don't know the numbers. But at least threaten him with it or something, because it's just – it's insane. We are – the TCU, like Jeff, you were saying, Cadillac football and baseball program. Well, it's time to get, you know – get up to speed here, basketball.
I'd settle for a Kia for our basketball program.
Yeah, right now it's like a Pinto. Yes. At best.
El Camino, 78 El Camino. That's what it is right now.
Yeah, that's on blocks, and there's like a beehive in it and stuff. It's just horrible. So we got to do something. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not Chris Del Conte, thankfully. That would be horrible. But I don't know. I guess just fire him. Just do the hell with it. Fire him.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those tough calls for Del Conte, as you said. He inherited Schlossnagel. He inherited Patterson. And he went out and he hired Trent Johnson. And now he's going to have to do one of the toughest things, which is he's going to have to make a decision about firing a coach. You know, Jeff Mitty, the women's basketball coach, stepped off to his alma mater, which Kansas State. He had a lot of success here, but he made an amazing hire, and our women's basketball program is competitive in a way that I see no reason that our men's basketball program can't be competitive. The women made the NIT. They were a bubble team on the NCAA. They're kind of projected for that for this year. I don't see any reason why we can't get a smart hire that is able to recruit this area and develop talent and put a team on the court that at least – you know, can win six or seven games in the Big 12. If we won six or seven games in Big 12 play, we'd be happy as can be, because we just wouldn't be in an assumed loss. You wouldn't have this, oh, we're playing TCU, so we don't have to worry about that because then we play Oklahoma the next week. I think we got to fire Trent Johnson, and I don't know who's going to replace him. That's why Del Conte gets the money that he gets. You know, it might not be John Calipari or Coach K, but I think we can hire somebody that's young and hungry. And I'd rather roll the dice on somebody that's young and hungry than continue with Trent Johnson with the assumption that he's just going to do again next year what he did this year. And I don't see anything that's going to make that. I don't see anything that's going to convince me otherwise that next year is going to be any different than this year if we don't make a big change at the top. Well, we mentioned our baseball program, which is coming off back-to-back trips to the College World Series, the Toad to Omaha, as we would call it. And baseball opened this week, and we took two of three from Loyola Marymount. We opened on Friday night with over 5,000 people at Lupton Stadium for us to – we get more people for baseball than we do for basketball, if you want to talk about what the situation really is. Our baseball team is young. We got a lot of ways to go. But we have some amazing players that we signed, and Daniel was out there at the game actually today on Sunday when we recorded this. Daniel, what was it like being out there at Lupton? What's the feel of the stadium? In particular, what's this young freshman that is on the hill for the Frogs that you saw?
It's great, you know. It's not quite as exciting as the playoff baseball, obviously. But, you know, I think they had well over 3,000 today, which is, you know, the rain was threatening and it's a Sunday, and they had to move it for an early start. So that's actually a pretty good crowd. And I love going out there. It's such a just a treat, whether it's playoffs or early in the season like this. But I was able to shuffle my schedule around because I wanted to go see last year's Gatorade National Player of the Year, Lucan Baker, take the hill for the first time for the Frogs, and he did not disappoint at all. He threw six innings, giving up only one hit. He hit a two-run home run. I forget when it was. I mean, that's just unreal. The kid's just a stud, and it's gonna be a nice couple of years coming up with him.
Yeah, I've read that he is the first Gatorade National Player of the Year from high school to go to college in over 20 years.
Yep.
So if you just think about that, I mean, we're going back to like Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, like that type of player has chosen to come and spend two, because he's here for 2 years, even if he goes into the draft in a couple of years. So he's here for 2 years, and he is going to do some great things for TCU. So it's been great to get out there and see it. You know, we lost first night. I understand it. We got some players that are injured, but to take two out of three from Loyola Marymount, that's good. Yeah, be able to get off to a good start, and to see this young freshman go out there and just dominate, like you said, that's got to help the program. That's got to build his confidence for going from pitching at a small private high school last year to pitching at the biggest stage possible this year. Good for him. Good for the Frogs. Good for Schlossnagel for convincing him to come to TCU.
Six strikeouts, too. I forgot to mention that.
Dang, six strikeouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about some TCU baseball on the podcast to come. So for all of you that love the Toad to Omaha, for all of you that hashtag slap hands and are big fans of the program, we're going to keep you updated as the season goes on. You know, there does hit a dry spot in college baseball. It's just like it does in pro baseball. But there is nothing like playoff baseball. Man, when I was watching the highlights the other day on YouTube that I think the Twitter account from TCU Baseball posted, but that regional where we came back and beat NC State, the super regional where we beat Texas A&M, that was just glorious. And if we can get some more baseball like that at Lufkin, that is going to be awesome. That is going to be awesome. Well, in our last episode, we had Jeremy Clark from 24/7, and we did two things. We brought him on and talked about recruiting, and we also announced that we are now part of the Killer Frogs family. We are kind of lodged on their website. You should be able to find us on the masthead up on the top. And so we are proud to belong to the Killer Frogs family. And with a combination of those two things, and of course with just the clear talent of the three of us that everybody can see, we tripled our downloads in just one episode. And I know part of that was National Signing Day. I know part of that was some more folks on Killer Frogs wanting to check it out. But we want to thank everybody that downloads this podcast faithfully and has stayed with us through the football season and beyond as we talk about basketball and baseball as we did today, as well as dig into some football stuff here for spring practice and draft that's coming up. But you can always find us on iTunes. You can always find us at killerfrogs.com. You can still find us at thefrogcast.com as well as on the Frogcast TCU at Twitter, and like us on Facebook, and you can keep up with what's going on with this podcast that is here to talk all things TCU and Big 12.
Can I mention one thing real quick?
Go right ahead, sir.
Something I wanted to do. I wanted to give a big shout out to everyone listening from all over the stinking world. I mean, we're looking at Canada, Panama, Germany, Switzerland, Haiti, Mexico, India, Serbia, a handful of others, and it's unreal that we've got that kind of a reach. So shout out to everybody out there all over the world giving us a listen.
You know, the Serbia Alumni Association is off the wall. I mean, those people are crazy. I mean, when you get Serbian Frogs together, I mean, just the crap that happens, you can't even, you know, it's just, you throw the records out the window when Serbian Frogs get together. They always outdrink the Baylor fans in Serbia. It's just a fact. Well, one of the other obscure places that we might have a listener or two, we might not have any listeners after last episode, is a little town south of Fort Worth, north of Temple, that I like to call Waco. Now, if you listen to our last episode, we had our intro that was dubbed in actually after we ended our podcast. We do a little banter before and after the show. And Trey Fallon dropped some righteous truth on us that not only was the town of Waco in all of its economic prosperity and GDP, not only is it getting a Chipotle, it is getting a Smoothie King. Now, we're not going to do this every week because there's some things that are that, like, our show can't brace for, like the announcement of a Smoothie King and a Chipotle. But every now and then, we're going to talk about economic updates from the city of Waco. So, Trey, just in all the free time that you have, that I know that you're always studying and updating the Wikipedia page for Waco, tell us what's going on in the Waco economy that you've been able to find.
Well, I can tell you that still no word on Papa Doe or Papacitos, but I have learned that they have a new Bubba's 33, which is apparently a pizza and burgers place, and a Fuego tortilla grill, and also a Twisted Root burger. So those are four real places that are actually have businesses in Waco. So just a small update this week, nothing major.
Nothing but, major.
They do actually have businesses that want to be there.
Well, that is good to know, because usually I just think of that Starbucks on the north side of town where I stop and get a cup of coffee and take a leak on my way to Austin. But that's good to know. That, I mean, it's not a Smoothie King, but that is stuff that I will file away on my Rolodex and update on my iPhone immediately. And so, Daniel, I want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, on what you heard on the latest economic update from Waco, a 1 is the opening of a Branch Davidian Museum, and the 10 is an RG3 Rookie of the Year statue that is in the front lobby of the upscale La Quinta Suites. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you place these latest updates from the economy in Waco?
Well, Twisted Root is – I'm really kind of surprised that they moved in down there. They're kind of a hot spot in Dallas. There's one by where I work up in Alliance, North Fort Worth. And I'm going to go with about a 5. It's right, you know, nothing too fancy, but nothing horrible. So, you know, 5 Brittany Griners out of 10.
5 Brittany Griners out of 10. That's not bad. That's not good. Now, like I said, listeners, don't sit on the edge of your seat. We're not going to be able to do this every week because the anticipation will be too much. But when things bubble up to the surface in the national media, which is always spotlighted on Waco with a young brand, we will keep you updated and we will make sure you know. And for all of you with Twitter accounts, we want to encourage you to go ahead and just every day when you wake up, just like a Pavlovian response, at Papa Doe's, at Papacitos. Ask them when they're coming to Waco. I know they keep you updated, so please make sure you reach out to them online. The people that run their social media account will thank you for your curiosity. Well, fellas, that has come to the end of our podcast tonight. I know that basketball is not all that inspiring. I know that baseball is just getting started. And I know we kind of truncated and edited out the half hour that we wanted to talk about the Waco economy. But there is one thing I want to make sure you know about for our next episode. We are going to talk with Mark Iztook from the NFL Network, who is actually a TCU grad, a guy I went to school with, and he is going to be on site in Indianapolis for the Combine, and he is going to be talking with TCU potential draftees that are going to be there. He's going to talk to Josh Doctson. He is going to talk to Derek Kendrick. He is going to be talking with Trevon Boykin, as well as Colby Listenby and other Frogs that are going to be there putting their best effort forward at the Combine in the hopes of being drafted in the 2006 NFL Draft. So if you want to stay updated on the Frogs, as well as where Frogs are going in the NFL and where some projections would be and what the assessment is from the people on the inside, we got a TCU and an NFL insider, Mark Iztook, that is going to be here with us next time. Well, thanks everyone for listening tonight. Hope you enjoyed our latest podcast brought to you from Killer Frogs, the podcast that has been talking TCU since August of 2016. So for Trey Fallon, for Daniel Southern, I am Jeff Mitchell. Thank you for listening to the Frogcast.